So we're on the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah establishes first halacha as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned. Kol Yotzi Min Ha'Eitz Ein Madlikim Bo. So the extracts of wood are not acceptable for the Ner Shabbos. So if you make a wick, for example, of something like cotton, which is similar to a cotton tree, it's not exactly a tree, it's a plant, but it's similar to a tree. So that wick that's made out of cotton would not be acceptable for Ner Shabbos. Ela Pishtan. The only exception to the rule is Pishtan. So that's flax. And the Gemara is going to discuss immediately whether flax is called Yotze Min Ha'Eitz. It seems from the Mishnah that it's a product of a tree. And then it says in the Mishnah, Kol Yotze Min Ha'Eitz, this is sort of Agav Urcha. Once the Mishnah is talking about Yotze Min Ha'Eitz as far as Ner Shabbos, it goes on into the laws of Ohel. Is Kol Yotze Min Ha'Eitz Eino Mitami Tumas Oholim. Which means that if you have a dead body inside an Ohel, the Ohel is the covering over the dead body, and if the covering itself is made of Yotze Min Ha'Eitz, of some sort of product of a tree, then it does not contract Tumas Ohel. And we're going to see that this derived from the Mishkan. Ela Pishtan, the exception to the rule is Pishtan, and Pishtan is Mekabel Tumah. It receives Tumah as an Ohel. If there's a mess inside an Ohel, the Ohel itself is made of linen, then that linen Ohel is Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara asks, Minolan de Pishtan Ikri Eitz. What's the source in the Torah that Pishtan is considered Eitz? In fact, it's not exactly a tree. It's more or less a plant. But the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk here to prove and justify the Mishnah that Pishtan is called Eitz. Omar Marzutra, Marzutra quotes a pasuk in Yoshua. The Omar Kra, with regard to Rochav, when she was hiding the Meraglim up on top of her roof, it says, Vehihe Lassam Hagaga. She lifted them up and hid them. Bepishtei ha'etz. And here the word Pishtan is described as an etz, which means that Pishtan, linen, or flax, is called etz, and therefore it's called in our Mishnah Yotze Min Ha'Eitz. Hayotze Min Ha'Eitz Eino Mitami Tumas Oholim Ela Pishtan Minolan. How do we know that if the covering over the corpse is made of Pishtan, then that covering, that Ohel, is Mekabel Tumah? What's the source for this? Omer Rabbi Elazar, Gomar Ohel, Ohel, Mi Mishkan. We have a Gzeirah Shavah, the word Ohel appears twice. Once in the context of the Mishkan is described as an Ohel, and with regard to Tumas Ohel. And here we start the daf for today, Chavches Amir Aleph. Ksiv Hocha. It says in Parshas Chukas, in the Parsha of Tumas Ohel, Zos Torah HaTorah, Adam Kiyomus Bi Ohel. So we have the word Ohel. Uksiv Hosam, with regard to the Mishkan, the Torah tells us at the end of Sefer Shmos, it says, Vayifros Es HaOhel. And Vayifros Es HaOhel, Mishkan, and the Ohel was spread upon the Mishkan. So the Ohel is the So we're talking about a Gzeira Shava here between Ohel and Ohel. With regard to the Mishkan, the Torah says the covering over the Mishkan was an Ohel. And we'll see exactly what that covering of the Mishkan was made of. And also in the parsha of Tumas Oel, the Torah used the word Ohel. Malahalon. Just as with regard to the covering, there were three coverings over the Mishkan. We're talking about the lowest, the first covering over the Mishkan. There were two on top of it. Shalpishtan. That covering was made of flax. And Kori Ohel. And it's called Ohel. Afkan, so too here, in the case of Tumas Ohel, Shalpishtan Kori Ohel. Okay then. So now we have this Gezeirah Shavah. The Gemara says, how far are you going to take this Gezeirah Shavah? Let's take a look at the covering over the Mishkan. The covering over the Mishkan was not just made of Pishtan, but it had other qualities to it. And the Torah describes what those qualities are, what those requirements are. One is called Shizurin, which means that the cloth itself that was made from Pishtan, from flax, was twisted thread. And that's what the Torah describes in Shmos Chavav. It says that you need twisted flax for the covering over the Ohel, over the Mishkan. Not only that, v'chuton kafel shisha. You had to take six different threads and weave them, twist them together. And the Gemara in Yuma derives this from various psukim. Afkan, maybe based on this Gezeirah Shavah, we should say that what kind of an oel is mekabel tumah? Not just that it's made out of flax, but shizurim v'chuta kafel shisha. Maybe the same requirements that it has to be twisted and it has to be sixfold. All these should apply in order for something to qualify as an ohel. Talmud lomar ohel ohel riba. In the parsha of Tumas Ohel, the word ohel appears time and time again. And this is going to be an inclusion, a ribui, to teach me that any flax, even if it's not twisted, even if it's not sixfold, is considered an ohel. So the Gemara asks the ohel ohel riba, if the extra ohel is coming to include even a flax which would not qualify for the covering over the ohel in Mishkan, is afilu called milinami. Why don't we go one step further and say that any product of wood, anything that's yotzi min ha'etz, is also considered ohel. Why do you say that the ohel has to be similar to Mishkan and it has to be made of flax, but you're not willing to go all the way with that equation and say it has to exactly look like the flax that covered the Mishkan? And the Gemara answers him, Kein Gezeirah Shavah Mayahanile. And what this means is that Gezeirah Shavah, when you have two words in two different parshios and you equate them together, then that itself is something that's a Mesorah, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's given down through the generations. We have to do something with the Gezeirah Shavah. And if you're going to tell me that Kol Mili Nami, meaning that any other kinds of materials is considered an Ohel, then what did you derive from this equation to the Mishkan? And therefore, the Gemara says the following. Let's take this Gezeirah Shavah, the equation to the Mishkan, and let's derive from that that you need that material that was used as a covering in the Mishkan. So the only Yotzi Min Ha'etz is Pishtan, is flax or linen, but we're not going to go all the way since we have Ol Riba, and that's going to mitigate, that's going to contain this Gezeirah Shavah, and say it's just as far as the material we need the equation to Mishkan, but we don't need the specific way in which that material was twisted and made into threads. The Gemara says, V'ema, if you're in the context of this equation between Tumas Ohel and Mishkan, maybe that equation should go further. Malahalan Krushim, Afkan Krushim. The Mishkan was made of wooden beams, and that's a product of wood. So if you're equating Oel in Tumah with the Oel of the Mishkan, then maybe we should derive from the Oel of Mishkan that just like Kroshim are used to make the Mishkan, and that those are coming from wood, the products of wood. So too, if you have an Oel that's a product of wood, it should be Makabel Tumas Oel. If there's a corpse underneath this wooden covering, that should be Makabel Tumah. Why do you insist, based on this Gzeirah Shavah, that only flax is included in Tumas Oel? Amar Kra, the Gemara emphasizes now the Lamed. There's an extra Lamed. It says, V'yasisa sakroshim la-mishkan. La-mishkan means for the Mishkan, which means the following. They are kroshim, and then there's Mishkan. They're two separate entities. And that's why the Pasuk says, make these kroshim la-mishkan, for the Mishkan. Mishkan kari Mishkan. Mishkan is one entity. The ain kroshim kriya Mishkan. The kroshim are for the sake of setting up the Mishkan. But they are not the Mishkan itself. So therefore the wooden kroshim that are used for the Mishkan are not the Mishkan. And when we have a Gzeir Shav equating oil in Mishkan with oil in Tumah, then we're only talking about the covering, but not the Mishkan. The covering over a mess has to be similar to the covering over the Mishkan. And the covering over the Mishkan is really the Mishkan itself. And that was made of flax. Elameyata, if you're so big on this lamed, the extra lamed, then let's take a look at this pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yasisa michseh, which is the covering, la oel, again the la. Hachinami, we should come and be consistent, the same conclusion, michseh lo ikri oel, that the covering is not considered an oel, because the Torah identifies the michsa, the covering, and the oel as two separate entities, and I'll prove it to you from the extra lamed. It says michsa la ohel. The michsa is for the ohel, but the michsa itself, which was made of flax, is not the ohel. Hence, it's not part of this gzeirah shavah. Elas, the Gemara says, ha de boy Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara wants to prove from a certain suffolk of Rabbi Elazar that we're going to prove something about R. R is a hide that's produced from the skin of an animal. And what was Rabbi Elazar's suffolk? And then we'll see what we derive from that. R behemot mea maushi yitame bi'ol ames. What happens if the covering over the corpse is made of a non-kosher animal, the hide of a non-kosher animal? Does the Torah care about whether or not the hide that covers the mess is a kosher animal hide or a non-kosher animal hide? That was the suffolk of Rabbi Elazar, and that's going to be a lead into the sugya called Tachash. Because there was a certain animal that was used to make the hides of that animal was used to make a covering over the ohel. And the question is whether that animal was a kosher animal or not a kosher animal. That's what we're going to get to soon. But the Gemara now wants to analyze the suffolk of Rabbi Eliezer. Hashta or behema tahora lo metame or behema tmea mi boy. What's going on over here? Rabbi Elazar is vacillating about the status of Or Behema Tmeya. And it seems that he holds that these hides, which were used Michse La Ohel, for the sake of an Ohel, are still considered part of the Ohel itself. Again, he vacillates as to whether or not this R has to be from a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, but he certainly assumes that the R itself, the hide that comes from the skin of an animal, which was used for a covering over the OL, is considered OL. And if that be the case, then even though the michse is la ohel, these hides are used as a covering for the ohel, nevertheless he identifies these hides as ohel. So he's not bothered by the lamed of la ohel. We should now be consistent, and we should apply the same logic to the krushim. That even though with regard to krushim, the Torah says hakrushim la ohel, implying that two separate entities, la mishkan, implying that they're two separate entities, forget about the lamed. Just like in the case of Yasiso Mikhsa La Ohel, we identify the Mikhsa with the Ohel, and that's why Rabbi Lazar says that this the skin, hide of an animal is used as the Mikhsa, and that's identified as the covering over the Mishkan. And he even took it a step further, and he wondered about a non-kosher animal, whether that hide could be used. In any event, he certainly assumes that the La Ohel means that the Ohel and the Michse are one and the same. Shani Hasam, the Gemara says, that's a different case. Why? Del Hadar Ahadre Kra. Because the Torah later on, in a different pasuk, places Michse back into Ohel. How do I know the Michse is being put back into Ohel, despite the Lamed of La Ohel? Dichsiv, because we have a pasuk with regard to the various michsim that were over the Ohel. It says, V'nasu es yirios ha-mishkan. Okay, this is where the Torah gives the various mishpachos of Shevet Levi different responsibilities. And here we're talking about the responsibility of mishpachas ha-gershuni. And it says there, yirios ha-mishkan, they had to carry the panels of the Mishkan, v'yas ohel moed michseu u'michse atachas asher olav. And we're talking about the various coverings that were spread on top of the Mishkan. The bottom covering was made of flax, actually a combination of flax and wool. Above it, over the ohel, was something that was made from the hair of goats, and on top of it was the animal hide cover, which was made from tachash. And makish elyon litachton, the elyon, which is called the michse tachash, is now being equated with michseu, with the lower coverings. Ma tachton kori oel, af elyon kori oel. Which means that the Torah took the upper covering, which as we said is made of an animal hide called tachash, and the Torah calls it an ohel. And therefore Rabbi Lazar wants to know what kind of a hide would be kosher for the top of the ohel, and therefore what kind of a hide made from the skin of an animal would be included in Tumas ohel, to be Makabel Tumah. Shall we assume that even the hide of a non-kosher animal could be kosher, based on the fact that Tachash might be a non-kosher animal, as we'll soon see? However, the Krushim is La Mishkan. The Krushim is not called an Ohel, but the Michse is called an Ohel. Gufa, let's go back to Boy Rabbi Lazar. Orbe Mitmei Maushi Yitami Tumas Ohel. Maika mi boile, what was the suffix of Rabbi Lazar on Rav Adabar Ava, tachash? This was an animal that existed only at one point in history. We don't have this animal today. Shohaya bimei Moshe, it only existed during the time of Moshe. Beinuka mi boile, tamei haya otarha. What was this animal? Was it a kosher animal? Or was it a non-kosher animal? If the tachash was a non-kosher animal, then obviously, says Rabbi Lazar, you're allowed to take the hide of a non-kosher animal and you could use it to cover the Mishkan. And if you could use it to cover the Mishkan, then it would also be an Ohel as far as Kabbalah's Tumas Ohel is concerned. If the tachash, on the other hand, was a kosher animal, then non-kosher hides were not used in the Mishkan and they would not be Makabel Tumas Ohel, based on the Gzeirah Shava of Ohel. Om Rav Yosef, mighty boile, what kind of a suffix is this? Tnina, we have a brisa, a very famous and fundamental principle. Lo hukshru l'melechet shamayim ela or behema tahora bilvad. Any object that's being dedicated for melechet shamayim,
For example, the Mishkan is for Melech HaShemayim. We'll soon see another application of Melech HaShemayim. Must come from the product of a kosher animal. And therefore, since the Michseh on the Mishkan, the top Michseh was made of Tachash, there's no question that Tachash, to serve as a cover of the Mishkan, must have been a kosher animal. So the Gemara now questions Rabbi Yosef. Masiv, Rabbi Abba challenges the very premise of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda, we have a Braisa that quotes Rabbi Yehuda, Shnei Michsos Hayu, that there were two different animal hides that were used for the upper covering on top of the Mishkan. What were these two hides? Echad shel oros elim. Elim are rams. So they took the skin of the rams and they dyed it madamim, they dyed it red. The echad shel oros tchashim. And then they took the hides of this tachash animal. So that's as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. We're more interested now in Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya omer, michse echad haya. In other words, they combined these two hides and they made one covering over the top of the Mishkan, and half of it was made of Oros Elim Adamim, the other half was made of Oros Tachashim. V'doma kimin tola ilon. And it's similar to, right now the Gemara thinks is an absolute equation, to an animal which is called tola ilon. Tola ilon is an animal that comes from the cat family and it has different sparkles on it, speckles on it. And therefore, when you combine these two hides, it looked like an animal that had speckles on it. So Gemara says, let's not take this literally. It cannot mean that they used the tola ilon, because tola ilon is tame. And if the Braisa tells us that that non-kosher hides could not be used, they're absolutely disqualified as a michse and a mishkan because it's a melech HaShemayim aleihem, then obviously when you're talking about a non-kosher hide like a tola ilon from a non-kosher animal, how could they use for the mishkan? So the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood. It wasn't that they took this animal called Tola Elon and they used its hides as a covering over the Mishkan, but Hachikamer, Kimin Tola Elon Hu. It had a certain similarity to this animal called the Tola Elon. Shehu Yeshbo Gvanim Harbi. It has many different colors. This animal was very proud of its very, very many colors. Lo Tola Elon. But they wouldn't take the skin of a tola ilon and use it to cover the mishkan because tola ilon is a non-kosher animal. Dilu hasam tameh v'hachatar. But tachash, on the other hand, based on the braisa of Yosef, must be a kosher animal and it was used as a covering over the mishkan. Amar Rav Yosef ihachi. Now, usually ihachi is a kasha, but here ihachi means a proof. I'll now derive a conclusion. If that be so, then Hainu de Targuminon, let's take a look at Targum Unkelis on the word Tachash, and he calls it Sasgona. What is Sasgona? That's an Aramaic word. Sasgona, sometimes the Samach replaces a sin, Shesos Bigvonim Harbe. So this animal, which is called which is called a tachash. Now it's very interesting because when Unkelus translates this word, he uses the Aramaic word for a tola ilon. Why does he use the word that's appropriate for tola ilon to describe something that was used in the Mishkan? And the answer is because that which was used in the Mishkan is like the tola ilon, which is sus bigvanim harbe. It is a multicolored hide, and the animal is very proud of its multicolors. Okay, so now we get back to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that the hide of a non-kosher animal is completely excluded from the Ohel because it's Melech HaShemayim. And if it's excluded from Melech HaShemayim and Ohel, then it cannot be included in the Ohel in the Parsha of Tumas Ohel. And that's the opinion of Yosef. So if you would take the skins of a non-kosher animal, according to Rav Yosef, and make a roof out of it to cover a corpse, it would not be mekabel tumah because of the gzeirah shavah to ohel of the Mishkan, which requires a kosher animal, and the tachash was a kosher animal. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees. That if you take this non-kosher hide and you make an oil out of it, it is susceptible to tumah mehacha, and he has a derivation to prove this. The sanya. Now we're learning a little bit more about tumas negayim, which we spent a lot of time on in the last few blot. In the parsha of Tumas Negoim, the Torah says, O Be'ar. It could have said Ar, which would mean that an animal hide is also subject to Kabbalas Tumas Nige B'godim, but it says O Be'ar. What is the extra word O coming to teach me? And the answer is Reba or behemoth male. This is coming to include the hide of a non-kosher animal. That's category number one. Category number two, also included in the same ribui of Oba'or, is shaloka biyad kohen, which means that the kohen began to examine this beged, and at that point it was not yet stricken with tzaras, but later on, after already it was past that stage, under the supervision of the Kohen, now it contracted this kind of a manifestation of Tumas Tzaras. That's also included in the parsha of Tumas Tzaras. Kotzatz Mikulam. Now we have a third category that's included in Tzaras. He cut different pieces from many different garments. The Asa Achas Mehen, and he sewed them, he wove them together into one single garment. Minayan, how do we know that this is all included? Tamalomar, O Bechol Meleches Or. So we have the first O, and we have the second O. The first O is coming to include behemoth mea, that the skin, the hide of behemoth mea, can also be made into a garment that's mekabel tumas negoyim. And then we have another ribui of O, bechol meleches or, and that's coming to teach you that even in cases where it contracted the tumah v'yad kohen, or alternatively, if he takes pieces of different materials together and he weaves them together, it's mekabel tumah. Now, what Rava is going to try to do now, based on this brisa, is he's going to say that we can have an analogy between Tumas Oel and Tumas Tzaras. That just like in Tumas Tzaras for Nige Bgodim, we're going to include even the hide of a non-kosher animal, so too, that hide is going to be included in the parsha of Tumas Oel. Ivy ikol of mifrach, we can differentiate between the two. Maybe the Torah was more machmir in negoyim and included the hide of a non-kosher animal, because the Torah was very machmir negoyim shekein shesivi arev tamehim. So we're talking about threads that weren't even woven into a garment, and if those threads were made of either wool or flax, they are makabel tumas negoyim. They're included in tumas negoyim. We don't find, with regard to tumas oel, that tumas oel applies even to threads. Tumas oel only applies to an oel, meaning that you wove together some sort of a cloth as a covering, as a tent or a roof. So we now have a chumrah in tumas tzaras that we don't have in tumas oel. So therefore, it couldn't be that Tumas Negoyim would teach me, with that which Rava wants to derive, that the hides of the Behemoth Tmei, just like they're subject to Tumas Tzaras, therefore they're also subject to Tumas Oel, Elagomar Mishrotzim, but rather the source for Tumas Oel is in the case of our behemoth tmei is going to be shrotzim, disanya. We learned in a brisa. Or the Torah tells me in the parsha of tumas tzoras that or the animal hide is tamei. Ainli ela or behemoth tahora. I can only know that we're talking about the or of behemoth tahora. Now, here we're in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. If you remember from yesterday, there were two prakim. There was Vayikra Yud Aleph and Vayikra Yud Gimel. Vayikra Yud Gimel was the parsha of Tumas Negoim, and Vayikra Yud Aleph was the parsha of Tumas Shrotzim. And in the parsha of Tumas Shrotzim, it says that the sheretz fell on the hide of an animal, and that hide is Makabel Tumas Shrotzim. That's called Tumas Maga. What about a non-kosher hide? Talmud Lomar O-R. So there's an extra word O, which means that a sheretz, if it falls on the R of a behema, and now we're including even a behema tmea, so the hide of a non-kosher animal, it's makabel tuma shrotzim. Ah, now we're going to derive a conclusion from tuma shrotzim to tumas O-L. So Rava says even that has to be rejected. Why? Ikal and Mifrach, because in Shrotzim we have a special chumra, something that we discussed yesterday. She came mitamim bicha adasha. So we have a very small amount of a sheretz. You know, you chopped up a sheretz into small pieces, and a very small piece, which is called ke adasha, which is the size of a small bean. Even that alone is enough to generate tumah. And yesterday, if you recall, we discussed how we derived this from the Psukim. In any event, this is a stringency that we find in Tumas Shrotzim that doesn't apply to the case of a mess. The flesh of a dead body is only metame if it is kizayis. That's called kizayis basar min ames. And a kizayis is much larger than a kadasha. So the Gemara says, Negoim yochichu. But let's go back to the case of Negoim. We've already proven that there's tumas negoim even in the hide of a non-kosher animal, but you'll tell me, well, I can't derive any conclusions from tumas negoim to tumas oel because negoim has a chumrah, and that is shesi viarev. V'chazar adin. So whenever you have two possible malamdim, two sources, and there's a pirch on each one of those two, then we can combine the two sources together, join their forces, and we create what's called a tzara shava. Loroi zeh. This one has a certain chumrah that the other one doesn't have. And the other one has a chumrah that the other one has. Hatzara shava shebahen, but what's common to both tumas negoyim and tumas sheretz, sha'or tamei bahem, that the Torah says even a non-kosher animal is included both in tumas tzaras and in tumas shrotzen. Each one is derived from a different ribui. Asa or behemah tmeya ke'or behemah tahora, is if in these two cases of negoyim and tumas sheretz, the Torah includes and equates a non-kosher animal hide with a kosher animal hide. Afani avi oel ames, so too in the parasha of Tumas oel, or tamebo vinasibo or beimetmea ke or beimetahora. And now we have a problem because in a case of a tzada shaveh where each chumrah is different than the other one, we have to always determine if there's some commonality between the two chumras that doesn't apply to the nilmad, to that case number C that you want to derive from A plus B. Amale Rav mi bar nishla Rav Ashi, ikol mifrach malat tzara shebehem shekem tmeim bepochos mi kizayis. What's common to both negoyim and sheretz is they both have a tumah. Again, in the case of negoyim, we're talking about in the case of Shrotzim, let's say, we're talking about a Kadash. In the case of Negoyim, we're talking about a Kigris. But in both cases, it's less than a Kizayis. They both have a minimum shear that is less than the size of a Kizayis. Is Tomar B'mes, She'enu Metame Yelo B'Kizayis. The flesh of a dead body is only Metame if you have a Kizayis. So both Tzaras and Sheretz have a common Chumrah vis-a-vis Tumas Ohel, in that both of them have a shear that's less than a Kizayis, Eloma Ravim Mibarnish, and here we turn to Daf, Chav Ches Amid Beis, Asya B'Kavachomer Minotza Shel Izim. We're going to derive the halacha of a non-kosher animal hide with regard to Tumas Ohel from a Kavachomer, from the halacha of Notza Shel Izim, which means the hair of a goat. And what's the halacha of the hair of a goat? Eina mitami b'negoyim, right? Because we said in Tumas Negoyim you need either tsemer from a sheep or pishtan or flax. And therefore if you made a garment out of goat's hair, it would not be mekabel Tumas Negoyim. And yet mitami b'tumas oel b'ol ames. So you have something that's not included in Tumas Negoyim, but yet it's included in Tumas Ohel Ames. Is Orbe Matmeyash Mitame B'Negoyim, as we derive from the extra pasuk, the hides of a non-kosher animal do receive and are contaminated with Tumas Negoyim. Is Eino Din Shemitame B'Ohel Ames? Certainly, the right, certainly, therefore, the hide of a non-kosher animal is makabel tumas ol ames. So now the Gemara says, "V'alahad etani Rav Yosef lo hukshru b'melecha shemayim ala or behema tmeya bilvat." Can we make sense out of this brisa that was quoted by Rav Yosef that formulates the principle that for melecha shemayim, anything for a mitzvah, cannot be a product of a non-kosher animal? And you've just concluded that as far as the Mishkan is concerned, you were able to use a hide of a non-kosher animal as a covering over the Mishkan. So lamai hilchasa, what is this brisa teaching me? What is the nafkamina here? What's the case that the brisa has in mind to exclude something that's not kosher from melecha shamayim? And the Gemara answers, letfilin. Because when you make klaf for tefillin, to write the parashiyos of the tefillin on them, the klaf has to come from the hide of a kosher animal. So Gemara says, tefillin behejek sivbuhu. It would be very odd to say that the Brice is formulating a principle that's only relevant to tefillin, to teach me halach of tefillin and the klaf shel tefillin, when the Torah explicitly tells me that the klaf shel tefillin has to become from the product of a kosher animal. Because in the parasha of tefillin, of klaf shel tefillin, the Torah says, L'man tia Torah Hashem beficha. And what does this mean, beficha? Beficha means something that's kosher to be eaten. Mina muta beficha, from that which you could eat, meaning the hides of a kosher animal. So why are you telling me that the brice of lo hukshu l'mlecha shamayim ela or behemet meir tohor vilvad is teaching me something which is explicit in the pasuk? And the Gemara answers, Elo li oron. We're not talking about the klaf upon which the parashios of the tefillin are written, but rather we're talking about the batim of tefillin, the boxes of the tefillin into which we put the parashios. They have to be made of the hides of a kosher animal. They cannot be made from the hides of a non-kosher animal, because the batim of the tefillin also have the status of melecha shamayim. So the Gemara wants to reject this as well. V'ya'omar Abaye, Abaye says, shin shel tefillin alach l'moshe misinai, that the batim of the tefillin, and here we're talking about tefillin shel rosh, that bias has to have a shin. The letter shin has to be engraved onto the bottom of tefillin. Now, this shin is the first of three letters of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is made up of a shin, and then a dalid, and a yud. And what happens is that we use the ritzuos to create both a dalid and a yud. Again, a different minhagim, but in the classic minhag, you've got a dalid of the tefillin shel yad, on the tefillin shel yad, and you have a yud around the middle finger. So then we have all three names, all three, excuse me, letters of Hashem's name. And if that be the case, let's go back to the pasuk that we started with, L'mantia Toras Hashem Beficha. So what's Toras Hashem? We thought that Toras Hashem only refers to the parshios, but now we're saying that even the batim have the status of Toras Hashem. Why? Because the name of Hashem is written on the batim, although there's only a shin on the bayis, but together with the dalet and the yud, we have all three letters of Hashem's name. Now, once we include the batim under L'mantia Toras Hashem Beficha, then we apply the word Beficha to tell me, min amuta Beficha, that only the product of a kosher animal could be used to make the batim of the tefillin. So the shame of Toras Hashem is chal even on the batim. Elo, the Gemara says no. Lekarchon bisa'aron uletofron begidin. The brisa of Lahuk Shul Melech Hashamayim is coming to teach me something about lekarchon bisa'aron and litofron begidin. So we're talking about tfira. Remember that we put the klafim, if the four parshios, into the bayis, and then we have to sew up the batim and close them up. And we use the gidin, which are sinews of an animal, in order to sew up the batim. Also, we use the hair, the sear of a kosher animal, and again, we know kosher animal from this brisa, we'll get back to the brisa in just a second, in order to sew up the boxes. Now, we don't know whether or not these threads that are made from gidin and saros, we don't know whether those gidin and saros have to come from a kosher animal, because these are not included in the pasuk L'mantia Toras Hashem Beficha. This is not Toras Hashem. So for that, the Brice has to formulate a rule, which is called La Hukshru L'Melech HaShamayim, Ela Or Behema Tahor Bilvad. Gemara rejects this as well. Hanami Halach L'Moshe Misinai Desanya, we have a Brice of Tefillin Merubos Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Nichrochos B'Sa'arin V'Nitparos B'Gidin. All this is included in Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So we have, number one, a requirement of ribua, which means that the batim of the tefillin have to be in a perfect square shape. And we have another halacha L'Moshe Misinai with regard to the sear and the gidin that are used to wrap up the tefillin and to sew the tefillin. And the brisa that says Lo Hukshru L'Melech HaShamayim, it doesn't make sense that it's coming to teach us that which we already know from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. if the Braisa is indicating Halacha Moshe Misinai, let it tell us that this is Halacha Moshe Misinai. We have Halacha Moshe Misinai of Lekarchem Besarim Lutofram Begidim. And if you want to tell me that has to come from an animal that's kosher, then tell me that that's part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. But the implication of the Braisa is that we're not talking about Halacha Moshe Misinai. We're talking about a new principle in Halacha that was formulated by the Braisa. Ella. So the final conclusion is Liritzuos. The straps of the tefillin. And the straps of the tefillin have to be made of a kosher animal, and this is what the Braisa is teaching me. Lo hukshul emlecha shamayim ela or behemator bilvat. The Gemara is not happy with this either. Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ritzuo shchoros halacha lemoshe misinai. We have halacha lemoshe misinai that the straps of the tefillin have to be black. They have to be painted black. Let's assume, therefore, included in that halacha lemoshe misinai about the color of the tefillin of the ritzuos of tefillin is included in the fact that the ritzuos have to come from a kosher animal. And that's also part of Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. And again, we don't understand why the Braisa is formulating Halacha as a separate halachic legal principle when it's really Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. And the Gemara answers, Nehi de Gemirei Shchoros, the Halacha Lemoshe Misinai only teaches me that the Ritzuos have to be painted black. But Tahoros mi Gemirei, but we don't have as part of this Halacha Lemoshe Misinai a tradition as to what animal the hide of which is used to make the ritzuos. That's not included in Halacha Lemoshe Misinai, and for that I need this principle of kol of lohukshul lecha shemayim ela or behema tahora bilvat. So therefore the Brice is teaching me Halacha and ritzuos shel tefillin. It's not talking about the Mishkan, and you know, we don't have any proof that a covering over the Mishkan has to come from a kosher animal. That's not included in this Braisa. The Braisa is telling me about ritzuos. So the subject of this Braisa is not Mishkan, but rather tefillin. So if that be the case, it's very possible that although for ritzuos shel tefillin I cannot use a non-kosher animal to create these ritzuos, these straps, but as far as Mishkan is concerned, I might be able to create a covering over the Mishkan from the hide of a non-kosher animal, which would support Rava that we learned earlier. And that would mean, therefore, as far as Tumas Oel is concerned, if you created an Oel out of a hide of a non-kosher animal, that Oel from a non-kosher animal would be Makabel Tumah. Oh. So now, let's go back to our original question. That is, what about Tachash? My Havi Allah de Tachash Oya Bimei Moshe. What is the final conclusion about that animal called the Tachash that only existed during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was used as a covering over the Mishkan? Was it a kosher animal? Was it a non-kosher animal? Omer Rabbi Ila, Omer Rav Shim ben Lakish, Omer Hayu Rabbi Meir, Tachash Hayu Bimei Moshe, Birya Bifnei Atzma Havi. It was a new creation. It was an animal that doesn't exist in the animal kingdom. It's a species unto itself. And Rabbi Meir continues, V'lo echriyu bo chachamim im min chayahu in min behema. Right, we have amongst the animals, we divide them up into chayos and behemos. We don't know if the tachash is a chayo or a behema. What do we know about it? We know that Karen Achas Hoysalo b'mitzcho, it had one horn that came out of its forehead. Ulefi shon is damilo l'moshe, and it only existed for that moment of creating the Mishkan at the time Moshe Rabbeinu Yosa mimenu Mishkan, and it was used as a michseh to cover the Mishkan, and then v'nignas, and then it was hidden. And we don't know where this species is. We can't find it. It only existed at that time. Minika Omar Karen Achas Hoysalo B'mitzcho Shmamino Tahar Hu Hoya. From the fact that Rabbi Meir says that the Takash had this one horn that popped out of its forehead, apparently it must have been a kosher animal. Because we have a rule, which is based on a Gemara in Masechta Chulin and also in Masechta Nida, that any animal that has a horn is a kosher animal. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Shor Shehikriv Adam Arishon, Chazal tell us that Adam Arishon brought a carbon on the Mokom HaMikdash, on that Mizbeach, and he took it from a bull, a shor. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Keren Achas Hoysalo B'mitzcho. And that animal, that shor, had one horn that came out of its forehead. Shenemar, how does Rabbi Yehuda know such a thing? Vatitav Lashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. So this is a pasuk in Tehillim, and we'll translate the pasuk into English. And David HaMelech says, this praise to Hashem is better before Hashem than the bull, horned and hooved. As if to say that the praise that I would like to poetically express in this Kapitel Tehillim is even more beautiful than the bull. Which bull are we talking about? We're talking about, says Rabbi Yehuda, the bull that was brought by Adam HaRishon. And Vatitev Lashem Mishor Par, it's even more beautiful than an animal that has two horns. But here it has only one horn. But in any event, if it had only one horn, then it must have been a kosher animal. So we have two occasions in which, in the history of creation, we have an animal that has one horn in the middle. One is the Tachash of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the other is the Shor of Adam HaRishon, and both were kosher animals. And the Raya is because they have a horn. And the Gemara in many places establishes that an animal with a horn is a kosher animal. Now in this pasuk it says, Par Makrin Makrin Mafris. So Mafris refers to the hooves that are split, and Makrin refers to the chronos, which means the horns. So the Gemara says the following, that there's a difference between the word keren and the word makrin. Makrin, tarte mashma. The word makrin is in the plural form. When you say about an animal that it's horned, makrin, it means it possesses two horns. So how does Rabbi Yehuda use this pasuk to derive that the shor of Adam HaRishon only had one horn? Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, don't read it as makrin, but rather mi keren, which means of a horn, implying that it had only one horn. So the Gemara says, v'lifshot mi nei to min be'emo. If the Gemara, in the name of Rabbi Meir, vacillated as to whether or not this tachash was a behemo or a chaya, well, from the fact that it has a horn, that would prove that it's a min behemo. It's not a chaya. Right? Anything that has a single horn is similar to the animal that was sacrificed by Adam HaRishon, which is a shor. And a shor is a behemo. A shor is not a chaya. So the Gemara answers, Kevan de Ika Keresh is Demin Chayahu Velesle Elachada Keren. So there's some sort of an animal which is called a Chaya, and this animal is described by the Gemara in Chulin as a single-horned deer. Now a deer is a Chaya, and Keresh is a deer, and it has only one single horn. So it's not absolutely clear that the tachash was exactly the same as the shor of Adam HaRishon. The shor of Adam HaRishon was clearly a behema, min behema. And it's very possible that the tachash of Moshe Rabbeinu was a min chaya. You'll ask me, how could it be that if it has one horn, it must be the behema of Adam HaRishon? The answer is no. It's not the behema of Adam HaRishon, but rather, it is a chaya. Is there such a thing as a chaya that has one single horn? And the answer is yes. That's called a keresh. A keresh is a min chaya, type of a deer that has only one horn. Lesle elachado keren. Is therefore ikul meimar min chaya hu. Since we already have a precedent of a chaya, which in this case is called a keresh, which has only one single horn, and it's very possible that the tachash was also a min chaya. It was not a behema, but a chaya, and it had one horn, and we have such a beast, and that's called a keresh. So in the final maskana, we come to the conclusion that we don't know whether a tachash is a kosher animal or not. It's a birya bifnei atzma, and to such an extent that we're confused about the status of this animal, that we don't know whether it's a behema or a chaya. If it's the same animal that Adam HaRishon brought as a carbon, then it's a min behema. If, on the other hand, it's similar to the keresh, then it's a min chaya. And these issues, these questions remain unanswered. And that brings us to the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis of Psilas HaBeged. But I see it's late, so I'm going to give you this Mishnah to learn on your own, in Mitzchem, on Shabbos HaGadol. It's a great Shabbos, and it's a Shabbos that gives you, hopefully, the opportunity to move forward in the Daf Yomi here on Chav Tes. And if you're around on Sunday, depending upon how much you have to help it at the home, unless you have other meetings, I don't know, urgent meetings, then we could try to, in Mirtz Hashem, study the Gemara on Daf Lamed. We'll start with the Mishnah B'li Neder on Chav Tes Amid Beis. B'Yom Rishon, I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos HaGadol. Anyone who's interested in learning a little bit of Meshech Chachma on the Parsha, that at 9 o'clock, B'li Neder, just press on something called Contemporary Halacha. Shabbat Shalom.
Rabbi, I have two questions.
Yes, please.
First of all, where does it say that Adam HaRishon offered up any sort of korban, and particularly that it was a shor?
Yeah, it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. I'll read to you the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vatitav Lashem mishor par." And this pasuk is a reference to Adam HaRishon's shor par. Now, the Gemara here and elsewhere assumes that the shor of this particular chapter in Tehillim is the same as the shor that was created back at the Sheshis Mebreishis, and it was taken by Adam HaRishon to be makrivit as a korban. The Rambam has a long discussion about this elsewhere.
If I'm not mistaken,
before he actually sinned. But I'd have to research for you. I think that this Gemara is brought down elsewhere. I'm just trying to remember where. I think it's in Chulin. Take a look if you can in Chulin Daf Nuntes. It might be there. I'm not sure. If it's not there, then maybe you'll have a cross reference.
Okay. And the other question is, you said that all animals that have horns are kosher. So does that mean a rhinoceros is kosher?
Again, you got me. I'd have to research that. Michael, let me just read to you from a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Madaf Ches Amid Aleph. Make a note of it. It says, "Kshashaka chama biyom rishon shel brias ha'adam." So Adam HaRishon was born on a Friday, and when the sun set on that day of his creation, it was Shabbos. And the Gemara says, "Choshev Adam HaRishon sha'olam choshech machmas cheto." So he sinned on a Friday, and now he sees darkness on Friday night, and he thinks, like, that's the catastrophe that was brought about as a result of his sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Svi Omer, and he declares, "Oili, woe to me shebishvil shesarachti, because I have sinned. Olam choshech ba'adi, the world has gone black." V'yachzir ha'olam l'tov v'vo, he suspected that the world is going to be reverted back to void. V'zui misa sheknikneso alai min hashamayim, somehow he identified the curse of death with the destruction of the world. Okay, that has to be analyzed. Ha'yoshev u'boche kol alayla v'chava bocha kenegdo, so the two of them were crying throughout the night. Kevon sha'ola amura shachar sheyom haShabbos, heven shekachu min hago shel olam shemachshich balaylu meir lemachras. Ah, he must have been very thrilled when the sun rose the next morning. Amad vehikriv shor, and that at that point he brought his shor. So again, I don't know exactly how much of this the Chazal know through Torah Shebal Peh, but this...
Is this a midrash you're closing?
I don't know. Again, that's why I asked you to make a note of it. Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches Amid Aleph.
Okay. Right.
So again, this is the shor that he brought when he realized that he would still continue to exist. He adds here in the note, based on the Rashba, he says... Hikriv Shar Bal Keren Achas. Why was this Shar single horned for the carbon of Adam HaRishon? Shezeh Moral Achtus. Kedei Lahoro Sheshav Bitshuva. Velibo Meuchad Im Sichlo. In other words, sin is a result of the split between one's mind and one's heart. And the reunification, the unity of sin, of the heart and the mind, was symbolically represented by the single horned shor.
Right.
Now, okay. As far as Karnayim is concerned, that's a Gemara Nida on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis. Kol sheyesh lo Karnayim harei umafris parsa ubevaday min tarhu kevan sheshnei simoni tara yesh. Oh, in other words, there are two simonim tara. There's mafris parsa and malas gera. And anything that is mafris parsa is automatically mala gera. There's nothing that has split hooves that's not, doesn't retreat its conch. Kutz mi chazir, the exception is chazir. Lachain, kol sheyesh lo karnayim, which we said is mafris parsa.
That's two hooves.
Correct. Is bevadai tar hu. The kevin shemavur sheshar sheyesh lo karen achas min tarhu sharei krivo odor rishon lemizbeach yesh lomo mikach shaklala omer b'mishnah shekol sheyesh lo karnayim afris parsahu hu bebali karen achas, even if it has only one karen im kein gam atachas sheyesh lo karen achas is min tarhu. Wow, that's interesting. According to this, and he based himself on a Tosfos in Chulin Adaf Nun Tes. We'd have to research that Tosfos. It seems that the final conclusion about Tachash is that Tachash actually is a kosher animal.
Yes.
So you have to make a note of it.
It has to be because it was used for the Mishkan. That's why I don't understand that either. Doesn't that prove that it was a kosher animal?
Well, yes and no. Again, we're talking about Rav Ashita, right? Rav Ashita is that within the context of the Gzer Shav of OL, even the product of a non-kosher animal is considered ohel. So you have a hide or skin that's made from a non-kosher animal, and it's mekabel, and it receives tumas ohel, which means that it, going back to the original, which is the ohel of the Mishkan, such a hide could have been used as... So again, even though at the end of the day we may come to the conclusion that tachash was in fact a kosher animal, based on the fact that it had one keren, and we said that if it has a keren, it's a kosher animal because it's mafris parsa, and therefore it has to be malagera. But nevertheless, in the original suffix about whether it could be used for the Mishkan, apparently that suffix remains a suffix, because Rava is of the opinion, not that we necessarily accept his opinion, but according to his view, you can take the hide of a non-kosher animal and you could indeed use it for the OL. And how do I know you could use it for the OL? Because it's Mekabel Tumas OL, based on that Xerish.
Thank you very much.
Okay, then.
How is Charlie's